7th Avenue Pizza, the official pizza of the Soda Pod.
The Soda Pod, the official beer and hockey podcast of 7th Avenue Pizza.
Final segment here in MNCAA. It is our episode number 108. Conference championships are behind us. The NCAA tournament is in front of us. And guys, welcome back, number one. Number two, you had one freaking job. As a whole, we had three teams in the state, in this conference, and not one of you can make the tournament. Isn't this ironic, though? Was it Pittsburgh? We had three teams, not just in the tournament. We had three teams in the Frozen Four. And wait a minute. Yep, the only team that wasn't a Minnesota team won that.
So. Yeah, Steger had the viral tweet from that tournament.
Yep, that's right. Yep. That's right. Yep.
How about that?
That was the high point of my career.
He has peaked because of Twitter. And how about this, guys? The bracketologists, I get, they have sort of a tough job. Last year, three Minnesota teams in the Fargo regional. This year, three Michigan teams in the same regional. I mean, just I don't know, man. Like, there was so much talk about and focus on the NCHC and what if there was a logjam at the top and the bottom, and then that happens. So with that being said, I think it's appropriate to open up our segment tonight with Lucas Pipenhagen, because Lucas you gave me the biggest eye roll that I've ever seen in my life when I said, hey, 2-1 game, that must have been a good game. Then he goes, was it? I want to know your thoughts. It looked like a raucous building. Ben Holden, Pat Micheletti also on the call. So you were good hands of the broadcast world. But Bemidji
State, those guys?
Yeah, right. Bemidji State, though, unable to secure the spot in the tournament. That's a tough one, man.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, just a really heartbreaking loss considering what kind of run the team was on for the 2 months leading up into that game. And you had, you were doing so many things well, and you had so many different guys stepping up. You're getting scoring from everywhere, and you get into a championship game and suddenly the wheels just fall off. And you really just can't do much at all. And it was interesting. It was, you got the like you said, it was a raucous building. You got the goal early, halfway through the first. You're up 1-0 on a Casper Magnuson rebound, and 50 whatever seconds later, Michigan Tech ties it up. And even that first goal Michigan Tech scored, it was really, kind of self-inflicted. Like, Mitch Wolf makes a really nice play in the neutral zone, picking off a pass. He's looking to turn it up ice and create some offense, and just kind of coughs it up at the blue line, and everyone's out of position because of that. Michigan Tech gets a little bit of an on-man rush the other way and capitalizing on the rebound. And really, Michigan Tech just dominated that first period all around. Like I said, Bemidji State wasn't able to get much going. They couldn't get really any offensive zone time at all. Throughout the game, they ended up out shooting Michigan Tech for the game, but a lot of those shots were just being flung in from the boards. And, they were just trying to funnel pucks into the net front. Just to try and get some bounces, but really they weren't getting any traffic in front of Pietola. They weren't able to get rolling. They weren't able to get good looks. And it overall, like you said, though, it's a one goal game. The second goal again also was kind of just on a weird line change where they get the puck in deep. The defensemen are trying to get off the ice and they get kind of caught out of position, and there's another odd man rush the other way. So the two goals you give up are both really self-inflicted, and you just could not buy a second goal. That building was doing all, the fans in there were doing everything they could to get behind the team and get them some momentum. And it just wasn't meant to be.
Tough, right? And that championship hockey, right? Alex, I want to go to you on this one because, first of all, Bruce Vita, we'll start there. Second of all, Bruce Vita. No, kidding. You thought that there should have been a major towards the end of that hockey game that wasn't given. So I want you to kind of, expunge on that and to what happened and why it should have been a 5-minute call versus, I believe it just was a minor, correct?
Yeah, just unfortunate, that would have really given Bemidji a chance. And to not get it is just, it has to be frustrating for, you know, for Tom. And I know the power play wasn't, you know, Lucas has talked about the power play all year where it's been, it's had its struggles, but to not get a chance to get that major, it's such a game changer in college hockey, and to not get it is just really painful, especially in a game where it's a one bid league and winner is done for the year, or, you know, the winner gets to face Boston College and Goliath. It was too bad, because this Bemidji team was so much fun, and it seemed like if they could get into the tourney, they could at least frustrate a young Boston College team. And they had some really good, like, people too on that Bemidji team, Kyle Loft and Jackson Judding, and so and just how can you not love Tom Serratore too? So just unfortunate.
So Marissa, you were most of this year, you were in between the benches, you were hiding the locker rooms. Speaking of which, I should have asked you, did we do a locker room check? Were any Bemidji State player shoes missing at all during any intermission?
Nope.
You sure about that?
Maybe.
Darn. I'm just trying to find something. No, I'm kidding. And this kind of sucks a little bit, right? Because again, Bemidji State had the momentum. They had the backing here. Of course, all of us here at NMNCAA unable to get over the hump. Michigan Tech, what can we say about them? I mean, yes, we can crap on them all we want. We have, you know, kind of beaten the dead horse with some of the off-ice stuff, but they've earned their trip to the postseason. They have a tough matchup ahead, but I mean, what does it say for them that they didn't really scare a lot of people? And then the last month or so, I don't know if a switch went off, but they just seemed to get hot at the right time. Do you take that as how Michigan Tech got to where it is today?
Yeah, I think Austin Swankler's dad would probably say that, but I don't know if I would. No, we know that Austin Swankler's dad goes off on Twitter. Well, you did the jab and it didn't with the shoes, and it didn't hit me until I was like, no, yes. And then I was like, wait, what is he talking about? Then I was like, obviously he's talking about Swankler. I literally have had that sort of day today. So I had to fire back in some way, but I honestly think Tech is just sneaky. I think every year, I mean, they have a presence, they're always like this, but I just feel like for some reason, they always feel like a sneaky team to me, where they somehow get into the tournament or they win or they come on hot. Like they, for me, I feel like
sneakers. I get it.
Yeah. You get it. Sneaky for sneakers. Okay. We're working this way. We're making the jokes today, but I do think they are a sneaky team every single year. They manage to get in, they manage to win. I feel like they get hot as of late and then start making a run and doing that. I don't know if that is it a test to the program, is to the coach, to what it is a test to all of the Pietilas that have been through there since the beginning of Tech's history. I think maybe it's all the tournaments or tournament, you know, commercials that Michigan Tech had during the Minnesota State High School Hockey Tournament. I think that might have something else to do with it. But if you guys didn't know, if you were watching the stream, there were like so many Michigan Tech commercials, and it was like quite literally making me want to throw up. So that was what that reference was from. But I don't know. I just feel like they know who they are. They do what they do. And it for some reason, every single year, I'm like, oh, Tech's not like Tech is Tech. Tech is Tech. And they keep doing what they do best, and they keep winning, and they keep making the postseason, and they keep pushing for the tournament. So I feel like I underestimate them every single year, and they still somehow manage to make it. And I think that's how it is. I'm not very happy about it, but I think Tech has proven that they don't care if you're happy. They don't care if this, they don't care if they're that, they're going to do good. And they are a good squad, and they're a good team and program on the ice. I'm not going to say anything off the ice, but I think on the ice,
you know, they were really fortunate to get Isaac Gordon too, because he was originally committed to Michigan State. And then Adam Nightingale was able to get, you know, all these transfers in the transfer portal. And so another he decommitted. Isaac. Yeah. He decommitted and then went right to Michigan Tech, another Michigan school, and ended up being the rookie of the year. So in the conference. And so, yeah, they were fortunate to get that, and then with COVID too, to get Pietola to come back for another year in net, that was, you know, a big boost for them for sure.
Yeah, they know what they're doing. That's
winning,
for sure.
Winning the Holby, not the Richter, right? So, with that being said, Ryan, you win the CCHA tournament, but you also draw the 16th overall seed, so you're technically last in. You got to face a pretty tough Boston College team, which last I checked, they're actually really good, like really, really good. They got some big names on their squad. I don't recall the math, but Michigan Tech, if I recall last year, weren't they embarrassed in the first round pretty handedly? Do we see a repeat of that? Or to Marissa's point, are they playing well enough? There's some confidence flowing, and maybe this could surprise some people.
You know, the math says, like we said last year, that Tech is not in a good spot when they're facing a team like Michigan. Like Boston College, they last year they gave up 8 goals to Penn State, and it was not pretty. It was bad from the start, and it just steadily got worse. And Kittle stayed in the net the whole game. They asked Joe about it, and they said, like, well, you know, I thought about pulling him, but you know, he was a warrior. He wanted to stay in there till the end. And I'm just like, well, I understand that, but. It makes the game look worse the more you stay in there, because then everybody's going to blame you for it. So I mean I understand that mindset, but I don't know. I would have wanted to get pulled after the 7th goal went in, but that's just how I am. But I guess number, right? You know,
7.
Just walk off the ice and be like, I'm done, I'm not coming back, kind of a thing.
You can't forget the stare down with your head coach in the bench, though. That's what sells it.
No, that seals it. My video freeze?
Yeah, you're frozen in like a 1970s disco pose there, Ryan.
You're bringing it back. So. You're bringing it back.
Yeah, and well, speaking of... Bringing there it back. He's bringing in Bagonzi's. We'll check back in with Ryan here in a second. But Lucas, let's look at this, though, kind of, you know, from the macro view per se, right? Just because we're kind of at the point where we can kind of recap the CCHA season. I remember when I said during the early parts of the season where there was a lot of question marks about Okay. State. There was a lot of question marks about Ryan Stegan, his video capabilities. So we still have.
I have no idea what happened there. Yes. Everything was going good. And then, like, it looks like I was like frozen in time doing a dab or something like that.
Yeah. That's been a little bit infamy, Ryan, just so you know.
Ryan is him.
But
he went underwater again.
I was talking about Michigan. Yeah,
you were, and then you decided to do a dance off on TikTok. So I'm talking to Lucas right now. Okay, we'll get back to you when you're done with your 10 seconds of fame. Okay, you know, on that note, though, Lucas, I thought that, you know, much like Bemidji State has had in years past, you know, their success was kind of short lived, right? They had a good start to the season. Second halves have been historically not great. I know we kind of touched on this the past couple of weeks, but even with the loss in the championship game, I would imagine there's some very happy Bemidji State fans as to how the season went overall. Again, the team looks like they're playing I don't want to say a new style of hockey, but it seems like they're not all defensive. They're not trapping as much. Again, Ryan decides to leave on us in the middle of a sentence. That's just how he is. But Lucas, Bemidji never left anything on the ice, with that being said. So what are your overall thoughts on their season, despite not, as shall we say, getting to the big dance, and they were just one goal away from doing so?
Yeah, I think if you ask me in about 2 weeks, my answer would be a little bit different, just because of how heartbroken this team has to be right now. Overall, though, I mean, if you try and look at it big picture, yeah, I mean, you're winning a McNaughton Cup, you're winning the regular season, you're the number one seed, you make it to the championship game. I mean, you have a chance at winning it all too. And, you know, you come up just a little bit short. And when you come into the season predicted to finish somewhere in that fourth or fifth, you know, really competing for home ice, and you're able to exceed both the expectations of the media and the coaches, I think you do have to be pleased with that. And honestly, the thing I'm most happy about is just some of the development we saw from certain players, especially in that second half of the season. You know, next year you're going to be without Kyle Loft, you're going to be without Carter Jones. You know, both guys had over 20 points this season. And you were really looking at, you know, who could fill those roles and step up and provide that production in the future. And I think you found a couple of guys this season that, you know, had disappointing years maybe last year, but, you know, with a little bit more playing time and a little bit different role, they were able to produce. And you kind of expect that trend to continue when they get even more, you know, opportunity next year. So, you know, players like Mitch Wolf, I know I kind of said he had that turnover in the championship game, but, you know, the second half of the season for him was remarkable. And you can really see that he's going to be a top line defenseman, you know, him and, you know, hoping Eric Pohlkamp stays in Bemidji, him and Mitch Wolf are really good top, you know, pairing defensive group. So, Casper Magnuson had the goal in the championship game that got him up to 7 on the season as a freshman coming, you know, and he had some good international experience this year playing in the World Juniors for Norway. He's a guy that you expect to continue. So I think overall with the season, you saw a lot of positives just in terms of individual players. And I think the future is bright for this team, which is awesome to see, because that's not something we've been able to say for the last couple of years with the Beavers.
You know what? What I haven't said yet is I'm done with Ryan right now. Apparently, he's been done with us 3 separate times. So, Alex, I'm going to push this to you because we do have some end of the year awards that are in our final stages, and I'm curious to know your thoughts. How about this? This one shouldn't surprise you. Luke Strand named CCHA finalist for Coach of the Year, as was Tom Ceratori, Lucas's school, and then, yeah, the other guy, Michigan Tech. No Rico. And I'm not sure if that surprises a little bit of some folks. Are you surprised that Rico wasn't on the list either?
Yeah, I was shocked. I mean, they ended the year with 8 guys out for the season, which I've never seen before. And, you know, they were at points going with 3 lines of forwards. It was just insane. And to finish 2nd in the conference is, it's a credit to not only Rico, but Leon and Corey. And so the whole staff, to hang, you know, keep the locker room together. Cause it could have just, you know, everybody could have just given up, but they stuck together and they know that they don't have a shot at the NCAA tournament. So the McNaughton, is what they can play for, and you know they gave it their all, you know, despite you know some of their best players on their team being out. And I mean they lost guys like 2 or 3 games in, which is just crazy. They lost at the time their lone NHL draft pick and Ryder Donovan, but they even had to get Cheslock halfway through his first year of junior. They had to rush him. Another NHL draft pick, but it just goes to show, you know, the type of coach that Rico is. And, you know, it's just unfortunate he wasn't a part of the finalist group, but I would consider him, you know, right up there as one of the best coaches in the league for sure.
And, you know, how about this, you know, when you think of, you know, some of the Twitter machine responses we saw to this, someone say, well, we lost some games and, you know, that probably cost him at the end. It's like, dude, did you see the lineup they were putting out?
Yeah, they didn't have,
it's like,
they were playing defensemen at forward. Yeah. I mean, guys that have never played forward before, that, what are you supposed to do in that case? And the fact that they even won a game in that playoff round,
yeah,
is a testament to Rico and what type of game plan they had for Lake.
Tell me you don't watch CCHA hockey without telling me you don't watch CCHA hockey, right, Marissa? Speaking of CCHA hockey, so we know Michigan Tech going to travel and they will play Boston College, but I want to run down the regionals here a bit because there's a bit of debate going on with some of these regional sites. Mm-hmm. So for those who maybe haven't followed just yet who are listening to us, so we have that regional where Michigan Tech will play Boston College is at Amico Mutual Pavilion. That's in Providence, Rhode Island. This is the other one, and this is the Denver one where Denver, Massachusetts, Maine, Cornell. That's in Springfield, Massachusetts. Boston University, the number 2 overall seed at Sioux Falls. So North Dakota not getting the Sioux Falls regional based on bracket tology per se, but this is the one where a lot of conversations have been had. Immersion. This is Springfield, Maryland Heights, Missouri, mm-hmm. At the community center, only hosts about 2,500 people. And there were some people posting pictures online of how much these tickets will cost. $800 plus. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to leave it kind of just to let you run with this. I mean, that's insane, don't you think?
Yeah, I was very vocal today when all of this came out. And if you go on my Twitter, you'll see. But I just don't understand it. You know, it seems like one time when they get maybe three right or two right or two regionals right, there's always one that's really wrong, or there's always something that's dropped the ball, and that makes it back to on-campus regionals. Let's get to on-campus regionals. Let's get that going. I think it'd be great for the towns. I think it'd be cities. It'd be great for the colleges. Like, this is where it needs to go, because of the sole reason that you have a barn, 2,500 people, it's going to sit, and you have UND, who isn't it? It's the UND, Michigan, all of that bracket. And UND, they house like, what, 12,000 people in the Ralph. And you also have Michigan State, who has a huge following. And you have all these teams who have a huge following. And how are they going to get all their fans in this, you know, stadium, in this barn, to watch it, the game? You're not going to. It's not going to happen. So tickets are so coveted right now, and they're going for $1,000. This isn't even like they're going for $1,800. And we can't have this in college hockey. If we want to grow the game, really grow the game of college hockey, be serious about it, why are we putting ourselves in this situation? Why is the NCAA doing this? There needs to be, it needs to be at bigger host site. You can't arguably look at me and tell me and NCAA was like, that's where it needs to be. No.
Well, no. Because they didn't do that, because people just said, hey, I want to do it. It's called the bidding process. Yeah. For those who are,
But
to Lucas, and I want to bring you in this discussion too, just because unfortunately what Marissa just did is provide an argument to go away from campus sites. In theory, right? There are some colleges out there that do have small barns that, you know, you have this situation where, and I think this is sort of new, right? Where we've watched it, right? Over the past couple of years, we're in these big barns, maybe 10 to 12,000 people. We were lucky to get 1,000. Now, granted, it's more than just the venue. Some of these games start Thursday at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Who the hell is watching that, right? So there's a ton of improvements that could be done to the entire tournament scheduling, timing, arena, everything, right? But with that being said, $800 a ticket at a 2,500 seat arena, isn't that arena not much bigger, if not slightly smaller, than where Fargo keeps playing at Shields?
Yeah, it definitely is.
No one's made an argument about that. I'm trying to play devil's advocate here, right? Just because I want these games at college campus sites, right? Mm-hmm. And most of the teams, especially here in the upper Midwest, were kind of spoiled, right? These venues are bigger. I do wonder if they would split revenues with the colleges as a whole, like the 16 teams that make it. That would be an idea, right? But still, right? What the other argument that you could make, Lucas, is we have a demand. If you're charging $800 a ticket, that means they feel like they have to, because again, North Dakota always travels well. The Green Machine, right? They always do. And then again, the other big schools in that bracket. So, I mean, is there an argument to be made too that there's college hockey and the demand for college hockey has never been higher?
Yeah, I think to an extent, I'm kind of curious with those tickets, how many of those are actually for sale by the venue, and how many of those are being sold by people who snapped up the pre-sale tickets and are finding a way now to kind of exploit some of the fans of North Dakota and these other fan bases, you know, that are looking for tickets now. So, you know, that St. Louis regional is just crazy, because when you look at the Centene Community Ice Center, they've put in bids now to host in 2027 and 2028 as well. They've put in a bid to host the Women's Frozen Four in 2027. It just doesn't make sense. There's definitely obviously a demand for college hockey. And from what I heard, pretty much all four regionals are going to be sold out this coming weekend, which is awesome to see. That's hasn't been the case in years past. You know, it's good to see too that ESPN's kind of changed some of the start times. It looks like they have pushed back the start times on those early games to more of a mid-afternoon. Because I think I remember Bemidji State, Wisconsin, playing at like 11 a.m.
That sounds right.
Yeah. That one year, mm-hmm. And that was ridiculous too. So, yeah, overall, I think there are some improvements being made to the schedule, and yeah, hopefully, it's, you know, those barns are full. And like I said, that'll kind of be a different from years past, but it's good to see that, you know, the tickets are sold out at these buildings.
So what I want to do to kind of cap off this episode, guys, is I didn't ask the other two segments just because we had a little bit more to talk about on their sides. But with this, guys, I want to get your Frozen Four predictions, meaning who are the four teams you have there? And then ultimately, who is going to be the national champion? I see everybody scrambling for their brackets. So I'll give you a couple seconds here to kind of give you what I think is going to happen. Right, I have a couple of upsets in my bracket. I think Omaha is going to upset Minnesota. I do. I have that there. I think also North Dakota is going to get past Michigan. I have that in my bracket as well. I think Quinnipiac is going to dismantle Wisconsin. That's going to make a certain Micheletti very, very happy about that. you know, some others have said, hey, what about Maine? Noah Grant, who is, it's been a while since we've had him on the podcast. Again, his work schedule has been kind of tough, but he's got Maine and the Gophers as a matchup in the Frozen Four. I know why he did it, because it's Noah Grant. It's, you know, a rematch of the '02 national championship game. And mind you, I think the Blackbirds also are sort of under the radar kind of team, just because A, they're out east, and two, they haven't been the most flashy team. So they could do it, but they're gonna have to get through a tough regional, because I think if they were to get to the Frozen Four, if I recall here, let me take a quick second to reset my, they would have to get past Denver, and I've got Denver in the Frozen Four. So with that being said, Micheletti, who are your four in the Frozen Four? Who is our national champion this year?
Yep. So I have Boston College, and then I have North Dakota, and then I have BU and Denver. And then in the championship game, I have Denver playing Boston College for it, and Denver winning.
Ah, so the Pioneers would get that be their 10th or their 9th?
10, I think.
Because because there's a couple at 9, right, that are tied.
So I just after watching them in the NCHC this past weekend, I just think they're playing the best. If they get the goaltending from Davis, you know, their decor is so much fun to watch. The Williams brothers. I mean, Zeev, that goal he had on St. Cloud to end their season was just incredible. And he's the youngest player in college hockey, or youngest defenseman. And he is going to be a top 10 pick, maybe top five. And I think I know Tavis McMillan personally, and I just don't think he gets enough credit as a recruiter too. He helps put, you know, Carl together with amazing recruiting classes and the type of kids that they get. It's just, they're relentless. They've broken my heart. So I know watching those teams, and they just, when you think they're out, they just, it's chaos, and they know how to score goals. And if they get Rizzo back too, at least maybe for the Frozen Four, that will help against the BC team. But they still got through the gauntlet that is the NCHC unscathed. So yeah, we'll see, but it should be a fantastic tournament. I think it's wide open. A lot of people think it's going to be BC, but I mean, they have a lot of young guys. I mean, and the goalie is a freshman too. I mean, he's going to have to feel the pressure, the bright lights, and you know, not just playing the teams out east. We'll see how he does against the teams, out west here too. And in St. Paul,
a lot of talent in that BC team.
Oh, yeah.
Ton of talent.
No question.
But like you said, a lot of them are young. But some, you know, I kind of feel like, at least with the development side of USA Hockey, I'm not sure that's as much of a factor anymore. It's still some, but these kids are, you know, especially with the development program, right? They're playing big games. They're playing big minutes. They're playing internationally. I just don't know. I mean, granted, you don't know until you're there, right? There's going to be emotions, no question. But I still think BC is probably the odds-on favorite. I'm not sure if they will end up winning it, but they've got the talent to do so. Marissa, curious as to your four picks and your national championship winner.
Yeah, so I think BC is going to come out, go to the Frozen Four. I think
shocking.
Shocking. I do think Denver is also going to come out of that regional. I'm thinking they're going to go up against Maine for sure. But I think, like Micheletti said, they played so well against Denver. I think Maine's going to put up a fight. It's going to be really close, like towards the very end. But I think Denver is going to come out on top there. North Dakota versus the entire state of Michigan. I am going to go with Michigan State coming out of that. I just don't think North Dakota has what it takes. I saw them when Omaha played them. They just don't look like the same team in the beginning of the year. Pretty sure. I don't know if their goaltender isn't their goaltender injured, or they had
something supposed to be back. So that's why I'm going with North Dakota. People are giving me crap about it, but I think the goaltending is a huge.
I think that's the biggest issue. So if he's back, then I probably will go after actually North Dakota. Because the only thing I would say, because he wasn't back, obviously when we played Omaha, not saying Omaha didn't do well, because they played very well that game and kept having answer after answer. But I do think when they have their goaltender healthy, I think they can be that number three team. And they're good. So give me North Dakota instead if the goaltender is back. If it's not, obviously Michigan State. That's just a play-by-ear kind of scenario, unfortunately. And then I love Omaha. I think Omaha is obviously going to upset Minnesota. I know that's a little shock for a lot of people, but I do think that I got to go with
Not around here.
Not around here. Not around here, folks. Thank you, guys. But I think BU is too good, right? Macklin Celebrini is going to be a rock star, and he's gonna show why he's the number one prospect right now for the NHL draft. So I will be there, Minnesota, Omaha. I'll be in person. Shout out D Henry on Twitter for hooking me up with a ticket. Really, really, really excited about that. Doug is awesome. So
bring a phone book or bring like a shoebox, just so you can see better.
Oh,
the most viral moment when I saw that. I'm glad I saw that. I was like, oh my goodness.
Oh my gosh. I was like, what? And then I was like, literally, I need a stool or an apple box. I'm never doing like basketball. If I need to do basketball coverage, I need like three apple boxes.
You need a step ladder is what you need. But anyway,
you guys don't know. I did.
Who's your national champion there, Marissa?
Yeah. So BU, all of them is going on. I think my national champion is going to be. I think it's going to be Boston College. I just think that they're so good. Cutter Gauthier, Will Smith, the lineup goes on and on. One of the best lines in college hockey, in my opinion. I just think they're on top. I think they are going to, though, face up against I think it's going to be BU, BC. And then that's who's going to happen, and then BC is going to win. Just Boston, baby. It's just Boston.
Would drive everybody in this state absolutely banana sandwich if that were the case. But I could see it. I could see it. Lucas, you're the last one. Who do you got?
Yeah, I got some different ones here. So this is going to be,
yes.
Feel free to critique this. I'm going with Wisconsin. I'm going with Michigan. I'm going Maine. And I'm going Omaha.
Oh, you're taking them to the Frozen Four, baby? Let's go. Better than I am.
And I'm having Denver losing in the first round to UMass, mainly because Denver has to travel out to Springfield and play UMass in a hostile environment.
I should have more faith in Omaha. Sorry. Go on, Lucas.
One makes no sense. A couple years ago, the Mavs had to play Providence, like basically like right down the road from their campus. It made no sense, you know, as them being a four seed and the Mavs being a one. I'll never forget that one.
So Lucas, bear with me, but did you use an Ouija board when you made these predictions? Or?
All vibes.
So that's what I expected from Marissa. Is she's usually the all vibes person.
I know. I don't know what's wrong with me. I should have gone with Omaha for some reason, but for some reason, I'm just like, I just listen.
So you guys Lucas know this is going vibes. Marissa, you're using your hockey knowledge. So different ways to get different practice, takes. Right?
This is why this podcast is so great.
So Lucas, out of that Fab Four that you have, who hoists the national championship trophy?
Yeah, I've got Maine beating Michigan.
Thank God you didn't say Wisconsin. I would have fell over.
You should have now, because that would have made this even more entertaining, at least for me anyway.
My Hastings finally gets his trophy. That'd be great.
Oh, God. After the
Denver debacle.
People bring that up to me. I can't do it.
I hate to say it, guys, and I hate to say it, but at some point, I think Wisconsin will get a crack at it in the next 2 to 3 years. I hate to say it. it sucks, but
he has to get his full team. It's the same thing.
Exactly.
With you get your own, your full own guys.
Yeah.
Yep. They will, they're getting a sniff. Maybe a first round pick for the Wild sees a shift. I don't know. Probably not. That's
April 1st. You might see him on
there. Yeah. Well, we'll see. Yeah. In the transfer portal.
Yes.
If he does, St. Cloud needs some forwards. Well, yeah, we'll leave it at that. He's not going there anyway. So, well, with that being said, guys, I'm trying to remember. I had Michigan State. Let me pull up the bracket here because I did a big breakdown yesterday with Noah at Boston College. I had Michigan State. I had Denver, and I had Boston U. So, yeah. And I think I had BC winning it as well, just because, again, there's just so much talent on that roster. Hard to argue against it. Is it a safe, boring bracket? Yes. I kind of like Lucas's all over the board bracket, to be honest with you. I love it. And here's the funny thing. It can happen.
It's all single elimination.
It's single elimination. And guys, like, and Alex, I'm going to end with you on this. Doesn't it feel like this year, I mean, in years past, we've had, you know, maybe the number one seeds that really scared people. But really beyond that, there were some question marks. I really feel like this year the parity goes down to 8 or 9. Don't you agree?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. It's that, and there's so much skill in college hockey now too. It's awesome. We're getting guys from Canada that would probably be playing in the CHL, but they decided to play college hockey. So it's just awesome to see. And, BC having an all freshman line from the national development team, hopefully we get the Olympics, going full time again, because you're going to be seeing some of these guys play, Olympic hockey and then in the NHL really, really fast. So it's awesome to see the, like Mercer, if it's a BC, BU, I'm sure BU would want revenge after BC just kicked the crap out of them in the Hockey East. So that would be fun too.
What is this, guys? What is this? A bunch of guys from Boston, Minnesota. Yeah, that's going to work.
Well, I'll never forget, too, a couple years ago, when the Colorado Avalanche and Denver won, and so they declared Colorado the state of hockey, was another just, you can't make it up.
Well, let them have their fun. We'll put it that way. They'll pin the ribbon, and in a year, they'll take it off when they... Just like, that yellow ribbon when you do track and field in elementary school. It's like, yeah, you did something. Congratulations. It's gone. So with that being said, guys, what's also going to time here on this episode. So for all of us here, for everybody here in MNCAA episode number 108, thank you so much for joining us. Back to recap the first couple of rounds here on the NCAA tournament. That is next week. We'll see you then.